Well, good day, evening, time, whatever, gang. This is Stunk Granny Audio 1153. Yep, I'm Rusty. Actually, I'm not. I'm Jeremy. Jesus Christ. Joining me this week is Chris. What's up, man?
Not a heck of a lot, Jeremy. How about yourself?
Yep, I'm having a Chris, let's take us out of here moment. So, all right. So yeah, I am back after WrestleMania. I got back way later than everybody else, apparently. Did you talk about trivia at all, by the way?
Yeah, I talked about trivia, yeah.
Okay, good, 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 good. I haven't listened to much of anything, so, yeah. All right, well, good. Yeah, so we are the champions of Las Vegas wrestling trivia, in case Chris forgot to mention that part. So,
Yes,
anyways,
I absolutely mentioned that.
stiff drink, stiff competition, and you started to see exactly why I don't do trivia. Because that competitive thing comes out, and if that other team would have won, I probably would have caused a
Oh.
scene. I probably would have caused a scene
Oh,
with the
that
drinks and
was
stuff.
no. Oh. Oh yeah. Oh, that was just that.
Yeah.
I felt like the fix was in,
It
but we
did.
still overcame.
Yeah. And they came in, what, fifth? Fourth? But they fell
Third,
off.
fourth, or because they fell off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they fell off towards the end.
Then that pesky
But
couple next to us, like we got four guys, they got two people, and I'm like, good Lord, they were running neck and neck the whole time. That was getting me mad too. Like, get out of here. So you're not even from this country. So, I did send you a little quick one more WrestleMania thing. I did send you that link about how Danhausen was the number three seller or in the top three for in-stadium sales. That's mind blowing.
That
That's still mind blowing to me.
it's unbelievable.
And I saw like Dave Meltzer had, which I actually thought was a very fair point about how they could oversaturate Danhausen, but it's TKO. They don't care. You know,
No, they don't.
they will squeeze that heart until it's dry. So, and for him, good on you, buddy. I mean, you don't need to be a you don't need to make millions your entire life if you can make them all in a year. So
Right, no.
good on that guy.
You don't.
So anyways, that's our WrestleMania wrap up. Yeah, I've been gone for the last week and a half, so a lot's happened. I don't know where to start. I mean, I didn't really pay too much attention to wrestling last week. So I saw like the gist of it. I saw Joe Hendry was advertised for Raw. Okay. Who else appeared on Raw? Was there somebody else? Or was that, or were they all, the rest all SmackDown?
I think the rest
Oh,
were all SmackDown
Ethan
and
Page. Ethan Page is on
Ethan
Raw.
Page, yeah. Ethan Page the
Yes.
week before, yes.
So two NXT main eventers. This week, Ricky Saints is going to appear on SmackDown. He had his farewell match on Tuesday. So the main event scene of NXT is gone outside of Tony
Yes.
D'Angelo. Then this week's NXT show, like we did have cuts, no one that was really getting TV time in NXT at least, and they just brought in, oh, I forgot, I kept the list, I forgot about this. Okay, Tony D gets attacked by Tristan Angel, Chris Tristan Angels, and then some dude from LFG, Cam Hendricks.
No, Tony D wasn't attacked by those guys.
Oh, that's right. This was earlier in the show. I'm sorry.
That's that.
Where did they come in? Oh, was that Miles Bourne?
Yeah, they attacked Miles Bourne, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that was it. Okay. So yeah, so we automatically have two new contenders for the North American title. I guess. I don't know.
I
It
don't
was
know
just.
what I don't know what that was. I don't know if those two guys are supposed to be together. I know one of them is the guy who's been on like every
LFG.
season of LFG.
Yeah, that's
He's
Cam Hendricks. That was the
yeah,
second
he's the one
guy.
who's he, yeah, he's the one who's Maxine Dupri's husband.
Oh, okay. Well.
And then the other guy I've never seen before.
No,
But he looked like a reject from Game of Thrones.
Yes, but he also had like a throwback look to him. Like almost like a Lord Farquaad, you know, from Shrek.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably the other reference I could have made, yes.
Here's the thing. I didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it either.
He stood out way more than the other guy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the other guy's very generic, you know, muscle head, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, okay, well, we got someone new? Like, I don't know what to think about any of this. It was so startling how like all this played through. Like, we knew Lizzie Rain was coming. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. And she took on Nikita Lyons. All right, fine. Then Tony D comes out. Evil shows up. I guess he's not going to be called Evil because they didn't call him that.
No, but they got to be careful how much they use the word evil here. That's Danhausen's thing, though.
Well, it's true. I guess, what could it be called? Vile, I guess. I don't know. Whatever.
Who knows?
Yeah.
We'll find out next week.
Yeah, so we get the big reveal. Like, oh, cool. All right. But then some fat dude comes in the ring.
Well, no, not first.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry.
First, someone we do actually know.
Tate Wilder.
No, Tavion Heights.
Oh, Tavion Heights, yeah. Well, he wasn't debuting, but he debuted a new look.
I know that.
And a new attitude.
Well, you can't talk about the dude who moonsaulted Tony D without talking about the guy who took him down first.
Very true, yes. So, but Tavion Heights is still there. Kevin likes him. I don't see it, but I've been wrong 50% of the time anyways, so it doesn't really matter. So Tavion Heights comes out. All right, cool. And then all of a sudden, some guy gets in the ring, some fat dude. And
yeah, some fatty.
It's not a great debut if Vic goes, is that a fan?
No, I didn't.
I went,
totally
what?
But apparently, you and I don't know who this guy is.
No. I do know who it is, actually.
Okay.
I didn't get a look at him at all. They did kind of cover up who he was. If I remember, it's Will Brooks. I saw him in WXW and somewhere over, it was overseas promotion. He is not made for TV. So this is a really weird debut. A really weird.
Did you see on Instagram that John Cena put him over?
No, really.
Including using his catchphrase over there or whatever.
Oh no! All right.
Apparently he has a fan.
Well, I mean, he's a big dude, but he's not.
Not big in the right way.
Right, but
no.
But he's big.
Yeah.
So I don't know. He's not, but he's not bad. That's the thing. I just didn't know who the hell he was. And then Vic going, is that a fan? And the way they had him dress, I'm like, I mean, it's not exactly the wrong thing to say. Because I was confused, too.
No.
Like, what's going on here? So, but good for him. I mean, if he's got Cena putting him over already, that's pretty good.
I mean, typically in wrestling, to be fat in wrestling, you have to be freakishly huge in order to get over. Is there really an exception besides Kevin Owens and maybe McFoley if you count him? Being like stubby fat type of guy? Do I have a better term for it?
Yeah, I don't know. Because even like, it's funny because even Kevin Owens, like his face, you know, it's puffier. I mean,
Yeah.
But then his arms weren't. You know, like his legs and arms, he carried all, like he's, I'm getting that goddamn shape.
I'm absolutely that way. Yeah. Especially when I'm up in weight, it's all torso.
Yeah.
And with skinny legs and skinny arms.
Yeah. But this guy's just everything. Yeah. I don't know. I'm curious to see what they do with this.
I'm very curious. And to have him go after Tony D in his first night. Like,
yeah.
That's a very an interesting decision.
Yeah, and then later on, someone named Tate Wilder, I don't even remember where he came in at. There was a guy named Tate Wilder appeared.
Yeah, there's a Tate Wilder, yeah.
So, okay. So those were like the debuts, I guess. But I thought what was odd was there were a lot of subtractions. or people that didn't even get mentioned. There was no Josh Brooks this week at all. So, you know, I know NXT, they don't have to release names, but you start to wonder what's going on because they put Josh Briggs out there, and now all of a sudden he's gone again. I'm trying to figure out, there were some other people I wrote down, but my notes didn't save, that were missing from the show too. And then, I don't know. It almost feels like we're getting NXT 3.0.
Oh, I don't even know. We may be beyond that at this point. Just this year.
Yeah, it's only May.
The January or February departures maybe didn't spark a new era or anything. But those were some tough ones too. I mean, I can't even imagine being in the marketing department at the CW with graphics and commercials.
Yeah.
There was an NXT commercial during NXT that just featured everyone who's gone. Because they can't keep up with this shit. They can't keep up with who's even supposed to be the main people in NXT anymore.
You think in a digital age it'd be very easy. But
I don't know. I know nothing about that that level of television production, no. So I won't comment too much, but this is just, you can't run a TV show like this. NXT has always had conflicting, played a conflicting masters conflicting priorities between being a brand unto itself and being developmental. Now, of course, we've also seen the opposite end where NXT is so treated like its own boutique promotion that no one even wants to leave.
Yeah,
that was a different kind of problem. But now no roster can sustain this kind of churn.
No, but
NXT to be worth it, to be a value as a property unto itself, particularly to the CW.
Yeah, but the funny thing about that is some of these people have been there a while. Like Tony D, this is what, year 4? 5?
Yeah, like going on 5.
Like
probably.
Tatum Paxley's still there. Like, she was bouncing around.
She's had start-stop pushes, yeah, though.
I mean, Nikita Lyons, she was part of the 2.0, right?
She came in maybe later than some people did, but...
Yeah, but like, it was funny. Kalani Jordan was on. I was like, wow, she's still here.
Yeah, Kalani Jordan's still there, and Kalani Jordan and Jada Parker.
You know. Yes, Jada. Thea Hale was there. That's right, she was talking to Jada.
Thea Hale is just, oh my god. Just treated it like another one of the J-Bro girls, you know, surrounding Kalani.
Yeah, so it was just
not Kalani, oh my god, I'm
Jada.
I'm confusing people who've been here.
You know what's funny is, like, Hank and Tank weren't on this week either. Out the Mud weren't on. Yeah, it's like they really did focus. Like it did seem like, it almost seems like ER, where everyone just started leaving, and by the end of the show, it was absolutely a totally different audience, totally different cast.
Well, yeah.
And it seems like they did that in
20
a week.
Years.
Yeah,
yes, like, exactly. It's in a week. Yes. It took 20 years. Yes.
Yeah, like Shiloh Hill is the veteran.
He's a veteran now.
Yeah.
He's a veteran of the roster now.
And I don't think he's long for down there either. Or I don't think he's long for there. Probably another, at least through the summer. But
yeah,
he's only starting to
wear on me. I actually found him and Tatum endearing.
Yeah, I yes.
In their segments.
I do like the fact that like they buried Blake Monroe. And he's like, hey, can I go? I got to go get ready for a match. Like, he came straight from the graveyard. Like, okay. Like, cool. Keep that stuff going. And then Tatum doing the goth girl thing. I actually like that stuff. It's like, we don't get that much anymore. Oh, Jack Legacy came back. Forgot about him. Sean Legacy. Not Jack. Sean Legacy.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's like there were a lot of like mainstays not around, and we still got we still got the Birthright, which is still the worst faction ever. It's like having a Barbie doll, G.I. Joe figure, He-Man, and then like one of those little play school Lego knockoff toys. Like nothing matches. None of this goes together, and none of them are going to the main roster. And I think that's just a weird thing to me. An entire faction of people that will never hit the main roster.
NXT wise, I don't know. I mean, again, you can't have that much. We're already past the point of no return with this with this churn and turnover. But yeah, we're also still at people who have been in NXT for years and have no potential. Nikita Lyons, no potential.
Not anymore. Those knee injuries really cost her. To me, I think the knee injuries is what really messed her up.
Yeah.
And she's never been the same since. Like,
No.
she was in Evolve, which I thought was a death knell. Like, Windy Chu was still in Evolve. I was like, oh, okay. But yeah, like her, it's just like, okay. I mean, she was a big deal. But not anymore, so.
I think Briggs has no chance.
Who's that you broke up?
Briggs has no chance.
No, he's done. I actually think he's done, probably.
He's got to be near done. Yeah, it's just I've said it before. There's just too many big guys who does whatever he may do remotely well better than him. Like there's just nothing there for him.
Yeah. And I've mentioned this to Kevin. I think I mentioned it on the show with you. Are there any white guys that lift weights anymore?
I'm not sure
I
at this
am
point.
tired. Every black guy that comes in there is a goddamn monster. Every one of them. And every white guy that comes in is skinny as shit. Kind of ripped. Like Shiloh Hill may be the only like exemption to this. But it's like, where are we getting all these skinny ass guys from? It's just noticeable now. Like, okay, you guys can lift weights. It's okay. You don't have to be sleek. Like, I guess that's my big problem with Birthright. They're all just tiny. And like, it's called creatine. You can do it now. You can do it naturally. It's okay.
And did you
But
see Lexus King with that just he's like picking out specific outfits his father wore 30 years ago
yeah, I
or
noticed.
more years ago, and including that stupid cane thing that Brian Pillman walked around with for 2 weeks and on Nitro and then stopped. Yeah, what a
Yeah.
tool.
Yeah. Well, I guess maybe that's what he's going for, too. So you always got to remember that. You got to remember
I
that,
know
too.
it's intentional, but it's again, no potential. Nothing. There's nothing to this guy. The only thing he has is that his dad was a star, but his dad also died almost 30 years ago, and a lot more people probably don't remember him than do
Yeah, I think that's
at
fair.
this point.
Yeah, that's absolutely fair. He had a legacy for hardcore fans. I think the casuals know, and especially now he's Lexus King. It's really not going to be brought up. I know Seth likes to bring up the Steiner stuff with Braun Breaker, but that's different. I think the Steiners have a more enduring legacy than Brian Pillman does. But that's just how it goes. So, but no, NXT is just that show in transition, man, and. Who is the women's champion? Lola Vice.
Vice.
Yeah, Lola
She's in a feud
Vice.
with she's in a feud with Izzy Dame.
Yes, which is like, what is this mundane stuff?
Yeah, it's
Wow.
Izzy Dame is already, I hate it when they do that. She lost the secondary championship, and now she's a contender for the world championships. How?
Yeah, I'm with you. No, I know. So, I it's like they don't have anybody right there. Like they can't run back Kalani Jordan with her. I guess Zarya, but that she's just getting out of the Sol feud, which would have actually made more sense. But
But Zarya might be the person who beats her
yeah,
before
I mean
she
that would
goes
make
up.
sense. But also Zarya is another one. Well, now nah, it's been about 2 years for her, because her, Stephanie, and Julia, didn't they all showed up within a week of each other. Something like that.
Might have all been the, it was something, yeah, it was within, well, yeah, within a week. It would have been, was it
Because somebody debuted and then
Saul?
Zarya debuted at the end of the show. It's either Julia or Stephanie debuted, and then Zarya was like the end. And it was like, oh
Yeah.
my God. We're all like, well, who the hell is Zarya? But, now she's my
Yeah,
sick
that's going
princess, so.
on. Yeah. That I think that was fall 24, so it's going on two years
Okay,
then.
yeah. I mean, Stephanie and Julia got yanked pretty quick.
Oh yes, they did.
And,
Much to the chagrin of Julia. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
apparently.
Yeah, it's Julia. Because
Yeah.
having to be compared to Stephanie McCair every moment of her WWE career has not helped her.
Yeah, they never let that run too. She became a bad guy and then she was gone after losing again.
Yeah.
But so yeah, so I don't know. NXT, I don't know. I thought okay. I'm not saying I'm a fan of these guys, but that Vanity Project stuff where the one guy was going after the it was from last week. He met up with the one monster girl from LFG, and then they were bragging about he was bragging about like she's his girl now and all this stuff. It made me laugh. So if it's gonna be a sideshow thing, great. Like those guys are just like a little sideshow for comedic purposes. I'm all for it, but I don't want to see him wrestle. No.
I don't buy them offensively against anybody.
No. Well, the singles guy, I guess, sorta, but the other two, no. And no, I don't know their names. Like I haven't invested myself enough
I have
to
had
know.
I am going on, it's 2, 3 years now of struggling with the names of people in NXT.
Yeah, well, I
And
mean, yeah.
when I watch the show,
It's not gonna get any better.
it's no.
I wouldn't have known any of the people I've mentioned outside of Lizzie Rain if I hadn't written them down and researched them. So, oh yeah, Keanu Carver is in a weird spot too. He was supposed to be going after Tony D, and now all of a sudden he's just going after all the champions with no direction.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, Jasper
Because you
Troy's in
think
ba-
he,
Oh, go ahead.
yeah, you think he's, you would think he is the logical choice to be Tony D's big challenger.
Yeah, but then they introduced all these other guys. It's like, okay, I guess there's creating a main event scene in a day, one night. So, okay, great guys. Jasper Troy, he's kind of cooled off. They had him in the background, and then he was taking on. Oh, he's gonna take on one of the Vanity Project guys, right? Next week. Was that who was complaining or was talking? He got mad
Yeah.
because someone was talking. Sure, it's NXT, so. Yeah, man, I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. It was just one of those where you can just see the reset button or
Absolutely.
just throwing stuff at a wall and see if it sticks. So, and I get the feeling it's going to be like that for a while.
Oh, it's gonna be rough. I mean, this is, I mean, I don't know if any. No, if you consider, and you should, NXT a wrestling company unto itself, no wrestling company has ever had to endure this. I'm trying to think.
Are you doing something weird with your mic? Because you keep going in and out. Like you sound far away and then it comes back in.
Yeah, doing something new with my chair. I might be too
Yeah.
far.
Yeah, because it sounds like you're in a tin can and then you sound clear as day.
Okay.
Yeah, like right now, tin can.
Oh, right now it's tin can?
Yeah.
Now I'm leaning into the computer now.
Yeah, no, now you sound good.
Okay.
Yeah, that's bad.
What's bad?
This is bad right now.
This is bad right now?
Yeah.
I have no idea what's going on then.
Awesome. All right. Well, we're gonna suffer through. Screw it.
All right.
Speaking of suffer through, let's get to AEW. I don't know, man. I'm watching this show last night. Nothing matters again. Nothing in any match matters for anything. I watched that Kevin Knight MJF match. The way too long Edge and Christian versus Roppongi Vice. Was it Darby Allin and Brody King? Every match, it's just finisher after finisher. It sucks. No, oh, Chris Statlander did a 360 splash or a Phoenix splash, whatever it was, onto two women, and she kicks out, like the woman kicks out barely at two, and I'm like, this is boring. I don't understand what's going on anymore. And then it dawned on me that these matches, like their style of wrestling is like Avengers movies. People just beat each other and beat each or Marvel movies. People just get beat up. It doesn't matter. There's no, like, in, especially in Marvel movies, there's no blood. No one's really hurt until all of a sudden someone is, and then the match is over. It was just excruciating watching this last night. And I see people like praise, oh my God, these matches are so good. You know, any video game match you have does the exact same thing. And maybe that's what they're going for. But there's got to be a better way. I don't know. Am I just thinking too much on this? But I've seen Canadian Destroyers, pile drivers, splashes off the, I mean, nothing works. And then all of a sudden, MJF gets hit in the nuts and can't kick out. That makes no goddamn sense whatsoever. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm still in a mood, but none of this shit mattered at all last night. As much as they try.
You're not wrong. And this has just been... We're, what, 10 maybe years or so more into this, you know, Meltzerfication of wrestling. There's never been a more dividing line between people. Well, or should, is that the way I want to put it? But no, there's just never... We just keep advancing into this period where it's just people used to agree on what a great match was. Flair Steamboat, great match. Savage Steamboat, great match. You know, now one person's 5-star match could be another person's 1-star match.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we are with tastes right now. And I know it all started kind of with New Japan and the indie style and all that, but it just I can't put myself in the brain of someone who thinks this is a great show.
Yeah, I agree.
But there are people who think that. Maybe it is most of the people watching, because they're still watching every week.
Yeah. I mean, they are still watching, but man, I don't know. I just lose interest after a while. Like there's no drama to me. It's like beating someone with a bat. And you're like, well, after a while, you're just beating someone with a bat. Like, it's not doing anything. And just to see somebody just pop up and not sell any, like, this is dumb. It's not even superhero-ish. It's just lazy. And I know it's everyone's different cup of tea, like you said. But it's like, we saw Punk and Roman, and it was like, you know, they took their time, they sold their stuff, and then when it started going. And then it became a sheer battle of wills. And Punk just, you know, ran out of gas. But like every match on Dynamite is just, I'm going to hit you with a big move. I'm going to hit you with a big move. I'm going to hit you with a big move. I'm going to hit you with a big move. Like, there's no thought put into this. Like, even the announcers don't even cover, like, the announcers don't cover, like, any of the strategy or the psychology that they're trying to put forth. Oh, he's working on his neck. Oh, he's, you know, he's working on that bad back. He's doing, no. It's just, oh, big hit, big hit. Oh, Canadian Destroyer off the top rope through a table. Oh, one count. I don't know. Maybe I just had it last night. And I'm talking exclusively about their show. Like, I had to sit through, what, 15 minutes, it seemed like, of Edge and Christian versus Rocky Romero and Trent Beretta?
Oh, that was terrible.
What are we doing?
Absolutely. Why are they taking this long to beat these two goofs?
Like, yeah. Who?
And why are FTR feuding with two different teams? Why are they messing around in the trios division when they've already got this hot blood feud?
That's going to end in an I Quit match. And it's like
and a New York City street fight at the same time.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Like, I mean, they're in New York, so it's got to have it. You know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know.
Go ahead.
I don't know. I just watched the whole show, and then we get to Darby Allin and Brody King. Listen, I like Darby, but this is ridiculous now. I'm getting past the point where he's so beaten up all the time that he can do, what's he call it, Code Red? Where he does the flip bomb on a table on a guy 15 times his size. Like, I get it that he's resilient, but man, some of this stuff is just obnoxiously dumb. And they need some guys to stand up like, no, this doesn't make sense. But like you said, they have an audience that likes it, so what do I know? You know, it's just me. Like, I don't really know if I'd watch AEW if it wasn't for this. You know?
Oh, no,
just,
I mean, I give you shit for the things you watch that we will never cover here. I'm like, there's only just so much wrestling I can watch, and only so much of it that's just not good. Like this, no, I probably would still watch AEW. I haven't gotten to the point with AEW where I got with NXT, where it's like, if I'm not doing our second show of the week. And if it's not one of the big shows that they promote, like a bunch of big matches on, with NXT, there's plenty of weeks I don't watch.
Yeah, I mean,
the whole show.
And the thing is, sometimes you don't need to. And like, really, yes. The only thing that really happened on this AEW show was like some conflicting things. Like, I don't know where this is going, but this Will Ospreay, Death Riders thing. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense right now, but at least it's something different on the show.
Yeah.
That's the only thing it's got going for it.
I'm conflicted about this one because, as you said, it doesn't make any sense at all. And, it, you know, there was seemingly no, there's a real disconnect between what happened between Moxley and Ospreay in their one match against each other. And Ospreay now just becoming so broken down and defeated that he's willing to join up with the Death Riders, or let them train him or something, or whatever this is. It feels like we're missing some steps here of Will Ospreay falling into some deep depression or whatever.
Yeah, it's just,
and it's also born out of kidnapping angle, which those are always stupid.
Yeah,
I mean, there's,
but it's also like, is this like the arc to get him to Wembley? To win the title, you know,
maybe?
Like it's, I mean, it's something to keep him busy, to distract you until August, right? That's when it is.
But at this point, Darby's the champion.
Right.
Well, if I see MJF getting the title back, we'll get back to him because we don't leave the Ospreay Death Rider story. Again, there's holes in this. But I guess you can't also be a person who complains that AEW doesn't have stories or storylines, and then completely poo-poo when they're trying to do something to make something more interesting.
And I'm
But it all, yeah, go ahead.
so no, that's why I just said we were talking a little bit last night. I was like, I'm intrigued. That's where I'm just gonna leave it. I'm gonna reserve
Yeah,
judgment until or if it falls
go
apart.
ahead.
Oh,
Yeah,
I'm just gonna reserve until if it falls apart, basically.
like I said, we'll reserve comment. I mean, we have to have storylines. We have to have developed characters here. Otherwise, everyone's just a bunch of dorks like Jet Speed.
Hey, he wasn't on this week, was he?
No, Speed was not
All
on.
right.
Jet was.
Hey, see? There's always good things, you know?
Yeah,
So
I guess. I guess Jet is a slightly more tolerable.
I don't understand the like this like the push of him like
I don't get it. No,
I
he's not worthy of it. He's not ready for
No,
that.
it's like
No.
just well this is a weird Tony Khan thing though. Like, it's his idea. He's like, I see him as a main eventer. Well, that's not how it works. You know, you can put him in position and let the crowd
Right.
decide. And the crowd's deciding he's not. So, it's
Yeah.
new, but whatever. But to have him, like, it was a cheap win against MJF. Like, okay. But I know MJF apparently gets ratings. But also, when MJF's not on, it's better. It's better for him. If you create an
Yeah.
attraction. But if
And
you're.
but does MJF feel like someone who's putting people over on the way out right now?
No, I think it's just part of a storyline. He's there for a while. I mean, he did sign
Yeah.
like some weird deals, some long deals, but I wouldn't think so. I mean, be like, but was that really putting him over? I mean, he took everything he had, and the guy had to cheat to win. And I know that's what MJF's been doing too. So it's, fair play,
Right.
obviously,
And to
but.
be fair, I was looking down at my phone and I missed the actual finish, so I didn't see the low blow.
The old Dutch shot and rolled him up. So.
But it sounds like they're gonna make MJF put maybe his career on the line to get another match with Darby at Double or Nothing.
Yeah, which was like, we're doing this again? And I was like, is that where Hangman comes in? Or he can't, or MJF can never go for the title. I guess maybe
Oh yeah,
that'll be
you can
it.
do that. Yeah,
And
you can
then
do that.
that'll be
Yeah, and
Hangman will come in and cost him the title, cost him the match. So, he
but we've
gets.
already established that that's not an official stipulation. That's just Hangman's gentleman's agreement. And of course, MJF would never could never be trusted with that. So it would have to be put in writing. Whatever he says. So again, that whole cop out that they have with for Hangman, just in case they ever want to have him challenge for the title again, is really stupid and hurting for just future stipulations.
But yeah, so it's like, all right. I always thought MJF in small doses, wrestling wise, you can have him on, but wrestling wise was better. Like, you didn't have Ric Flair wrestling all the time way back when, and he's kind of the Ric Flair. I mean, constantly in the,
Yeah.
he's always in the title picture, and now he's going through a, a little bit of adversity. Give him something to do,
Yeah.
but one other skit that I did like. Because it was so stupid to begin with, Bandito on the back lot. I loved it. I
Yeah.
loved when they did that. I was like, it makes no sense. This Mexican bandit is beating up these guys with wrestling moves and no shirt and stuff. Like, this is crazy absurd. I'm for it. So when they showed it, I was like, oh, they're reintroducing Bandito. But then all of a sudden, you saw the Bandito wanted poster. I'm like, oh, that's weird. And it was Swerve. And I was like, hell yes. The bad guy comes to town looking for Bandito. Like, I'm for it.
Yeah,
More of this stuff, man.
no. That was fun. Yeah. Oh,
Yeah.
yeah.
It's different. So, But, and also Bandito's really good. I like Bandito a lot. So, but he's in ROH Purgatory. So. Oh, by the way, speaking of ROH Purgatory. Did you see that Athena has now tied Bob Bruno Sammartino's second title run for days?
Oh, my God.
And by the way, everyone,
That's
she's the Ring of
hilarious.
Honor Women's Champion, in case you don't know. Because why would you? So, when we saw Stardom, did she bring the belt with her?
I don't think she did.
That's crazy.
Maybe she did. Maybe she did.
It was so quick.
I don't remember. It was so, yeah.
I don't know. But, yeah. So, yeah. I don't really have much more to say about AEW. Although, why are they having poor Renee Paquette talk when she clearly has, like, she's losing her voice or she's getting her voice back? I felt so bad for her.
Oh, yeah.
And then
I don't know why they couldn't have brought the other girl in, Lexi or whatever her name is.
Or just not done it. It doesn't really add anything. So, but, yeah. So that's your Tuesday, Wednesday wrestling show. We both watched the Hulk Hogan documentary on Netflix.
Yes, we did.
And yours is a little fresher because you ended it today. What's your impression of it? We have not talked about this with each other, so this is all right. This is all at the top.
My impression is it's a puff piece.
Yeah.
It's not a WWE production. I think that needs to be made clear that WWE did not produce this. I'm not even sure, technically sure, if it's a Netflix thing or if it's just. I think it's made by like somebody else. And this person, I can ascertain two things about this person. One, they're a big Hogan fan who doesn't really want to dig deep into the really bad stuff.
Okay. Yes.
And two, they're obviously a Trumper. Which is weird because Netflix is like documentary stuff. If it gets political at all, it's usually center left. This was very beyond. This was right. In those terms.
Yeah, that last episode. I mean, I guess you kind of have to show that because that's.
You do
really
have to show that.
That's the most. That's the lasting image of him.
Right.
Was all that.
You have to talk about it. But did they have to talk about it so glowingly for so long? I mean, the fact that the sitting United States president did an interview for this is absolutely insane. No matter who the president is at any point in history.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's for the most part it's not a good documentary.
Well, it's a Netflix documentary, and people confuse Netflix documentaries with good documentaries. They're not.
I don't know. I've liked some.
Some of their earlier ones.
But all of them
are the same. Every single sort of docu show, everything's the same. My phone decided to call my mom. That's nice. Okay.
Oh, cool.
But all of them are the same. The same washed out colors. The same music. Yeah. The same style. People sitting in these morose, bland environments, talking softly. At least this had some sort of like different details. I appreciated the fact, one, why was Natalya in this? Two, Bret Hart is only in there to call Hulk Hogan a piece of shit. He doesn't show up after that. There was something else Netflix usually does, but that's it. Oh, they always have somebody who has nothing to do with it. I guess that's Natalya. Like, what is she even? Yeah. What is she even doing in this?
Her and Cody were the most out of place.
Cody for sure, but at least Cody was like, he was around like when he turned heel. He is like.
Yeah.
You know, the face of WWE, so they want him to be in it. So
Triple H having to pretend he ever liked this man.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh.
And he spoke at his funeral? What the hell was...
Well...
Oh, the funeral footage at the end was a lot. I mean, this was more of a MAGA rally than a funeral, it looked like.
Well, I loved... We got to see... All right, one, They must not have interviewed Vince for this at all.
No, they didn't.
Because they only used old audio, never showed him until the end.
Probably from his documentary.
Very true. And they only showed him at the end looking like, you know, a cartoon villain still, and getting everybody to give him one last standing ovation or whatever it was. Which, you know, for a funeral, you can do it. You can do it any way you want. So cool. You know, whatever. But yeah, my takeaway with this is like I liked the early years. I liked him talking about his family situation. And I mean his mother and father situation. Yeah, that's some stuff I didn't know. Did they not ask Brooke to be in this?
No.
Okay.
She has been not included in anything.
Okay.
Because she's not going to play by the narrative. She's got questions. She's avoided, I think, talking much shit about her brother. But she has, I think she's not, she was never happy with the third wife.
Oh, the current
one? Oh, and she's not current anymore.
Well, I mean, wait, she got remarried?
No, well, he's dead.
Well, you're still married. You can still be married, though.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
the one who's 25 years younger than him, and yeah, she seems like she was a driving force behind a lot of the stuff he was doing late in life. Like she seems like she was the one who was like, okay, we need to jump on this Trump chain and train and do this beer stuff, and yeah.
Yeah,
I think the story of the last years of his life are, I think he was probably listening to a lot of the wrong people. And the interesting part about Brooke is because she kind of cut them all off, you know, married some NHL player who's now retired, who, you know, had some money. She started some businesses that, you know, I had to look it up. She does some real estate. She does some interior decorating. She largely has a mostly normal life at this point. But she must, between her and her husband, she must be doing well enough that towards the end, she didn't need anything from him.
Yeah.
Which means that she's the only one who, probably the only one who really cared about him, because everyone else in his life is a leech. You know, Nick's obviously a leech. You know, just desperately never wanting to get a real job, basically. You know, Bischoff was, you know, dragging him into every two-bit business deal he could.
Yeah.
Jimmy Hart obviously dedicated the whole back half of his life to just serving Hogan.
Yeah. I will say that was pretty sad. Like,
seems very sad.
Yeah, there's a genuine friendship, but also at the same time.
Yes, there is. There like, absolutely is.
They're just my gravy boat.
And no one has ever actually said, in spite of, you know, a lot of things, no one ever actually says a bad word about Jimmy Hart.
No, yeah, you know that too, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just, I don't know, like, watching it, I expected there to be more sensationalistic lies, you know?
Yeah.
But, and they even brought this up. Who was it? I can't remember who in the documentary was saying it. But it started.
Was it the author dude or the historian / author guy?
No, it was one of his friends. When he was talking about Andre the Giant and how the story was Andre was only like 390 or something like that. Like he didn't weigh that much. But he's like, yeah, but you know, over the years that tail got big, and like, you know, Andre weighed 1,000 pounds and he lifted him over his head, and he goes, you know, it's just Hulk.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, but Hogan has 10 different versions of every story.
Yeah,
he's ever told, and he can't keep them. He can't keep track of them, which is why. Do you ever see his Rogan appearance?
No, I didn't know he was on Rogan.
I never really saw it.
Oh yes, I did. Yes, I did. I'm sorry. Yes, yes.
Hogan would tell one of his yarns, spin one of his yarns, and then Joe would immediately have his assistant look it up online. And Hogan just has this look on his face like he can do that, brother.
Yeah.
Hogan just never lived in reality. He never understood how, you know, people and what technology was like. It's the same thing as thinking he could just go on Arsenio and tell the Bulls they lie. He was still living his life like that, you know, over 30 years later. Yeah, it's so, just, you know, no understanding of, you can't just say whatever you want and have no one, especially not as we got deeper into, you know, the 2010s, 2020s, you can't just say anything you want and not have it be fact checked.
Yeah. So my biggest takeaway on this, though, was they talked about, you know, his tape and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
They talked about, they convoluted the timeline.
They did, yes.
Because
no. The trial was after the racist stuff came out.
Exactly.
It's why he sued.
Exactly.
He didn't sue over the original sex tape.
I was like,
without audio.
Yeah. I'm going.
Because it wasn't just a transcript. There was audio. Yeah. But Bubba the Love Sponge had his bedroom wired to film high quality for pornography.
Yeah. So it's like, all right, everyone's into their thing. That's fine. But how did the whole thing was, people only cared because he starts going off.
Yeah.
After he busts a nut, he's still angry. I've never understood this train of thought.
I have never understood. No, I've never understood how this happened. Or, you know,
hey, Bubba's wife is pretty good looking too. So
he was good looking.
Banging out some hot ass chick, drops a load, then starts talking about how he feels bloated, and he had too much food, and then black people. I'm like, what? Dude, you should just be laying there. Like telling her, hey, you owe me a thank you. Like, you know, I'm Hulk Hogan. I'm not some dude. But no. And then in this documentary, it's like, well, there was a sex tape, and that's why I sued Gawker. Like, I don't think that's why. Afterwards, the media got hold of the transcripts. No.
That is not what happened at all. And he had every right to sue. And I know they get into the whole, they don't get into the whole who financed it and why he did it. And, you know, and even then, you know, the connections to Trump and whatever, it's just, but I mean, he was legally wronged, even though there was no coming back from what he said, or there was, but he never took the steps to make things right.
Yeah. And I like Triple H's. Wasn't Triple H the one that said he didn't make it, he tried to make amends or didn't make amends, or people thought it was shallow or something like that? Was
yeah,
that,
I think
that was
he
Triple
said
H,
something.
Right?
And then Natalia, her contribution was something along those lines. It's like that there were just things that were never forgiven, and that Triple H's things was too many mistakes made. I think was more of his point.
Okay. I also thought it was very telling that when they had the 10 Bell tribute, that it was Triple H said, you know, obviously if anybody is uncomfortable being up there, they don't have to be up there. No retaliation, no ill feelings, nothing. So he knew, and I get the feeling from like a simple statement, obviously, but I get the feeling from that statement, Triple H was like, yeah, I got to be up here. And if you guys don't want to, well, I wish I could be you guys. I don't think it doesn't seem like.
Which is also one who at the funeral said gets presidents elected.
Yes, that was a funny narrative.
That is a funny narrative.
Like I don't think Hulk Hogan had anything to do with this. Like
no, he didn't.
At that point in life.
He was jumping on a bandwagon himself.
And you're overstating your importance.
Yes.
And it was very weird where he was like, yeah, I voted for him the first time.
Hogan needed
voted for him a second. Now I'm not
needed
ashamed.
Hogan needed Trump and his supporters more than Trump needed Hogan, without a doubt. At least that's what Hogan thought.
Yeah.
Because the beer obviously never really took off. The, you know, the Real American Wrestling League is just whatever.
That's there. It's
And
still on
both of those
Fox.
things there, and
Yeah.
both of those things are distancing some of themselves from Hogan at, as we're heading into a year after his passing as well.
Yes.
We'll never see that beer again once his face is on that
It's
can.
still around, I guess. I don't know.
Well,
But
until that, well, it'll still be on the ring mat of Monday Night Raw until that
yeah.
contract is over, I guess. Or the company goes out of business and they stop being able to pay, afford to pay.
I did enjoy the
Like
Trump
what happened
interactions
with
on
Rick.
this.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah,
I enjoyed the
please.
Trump interactions on there because
I
they
bet.
were disingenuous. I mean,
Even the ones in 1988.
yes. Yes. I mean, all the way back then, he was like, yeah, I met him, but we're good friends and this and this. And he's playing the voicemail that Trump clearly just didn't want to do. And you can just tell in his voice. I mean, the man's got a very blase way of talking anyways when he's not, pontificating on himself or something else. But yeah. And it was just weird to see the pride. Like, it was just a weird validation in Hulk Hogan's eyes when he would talk about the Trump stuff and how he was part of it and all this. And it's like, I don't understand that. For a man who had so much, and I mean, he had his, I guess he had his problems. To latch on for validation that way is just odd to me. But I mean, he's got a shallow ego. I know you think that the wife had something to do with it. Maybe, I don't know. So I thought that was actually kind of sad. He hitched his wagon to this guy, and I don't think he even said something like, "Well, I don't agree with everything he does." It's like, well, dude,
Well,
there.
everyone has to say that.
Yeah, it's like, dude, there's a lot to disagree with though, and when you're supposed to be, this is the legacy he leaves now, is you're supposed to be Hulk Hogan for all Americans, right?
Right, yeah.
And, well, by your words, at least, you got problem with a pretty big section of this country. Now, I know he kind of backed away from it again, but some people are like, yeah, nah, no, I don't accept your apology. I think that's why you said like none of the other stuff should have mattered. It should have just been the end of his life.
Yeah, I
And
think it should have just been an hour and a half or whatever movie about the end of the last 20 years. You could have obviously because you got to go back to the divorce and the reality show and all that
yeah.
to tell that story. But yeah, there was no need to do a bare bones, not complete through his eyes or through his lies telling of wrestling history. There was, it, I mean, nothing was. Because so many of the stories have been told elsewhere better.
Right.
Maybe the Richard Belzer stuff before the first WrestleMania. I mean, it's definitely something, one of those things, if you're gonna touch hit on that subject, you have to talk about it. And to hear it from Belzer's voice, even though it was an interview from like 40 years ago or whatever. That stuff, I guess, fine. But they're just blowing through years and years. Yeah, it just. It didn't even need it. It didn't need it. You can find better wrestling history pieces in both in video and
Yeah.
podcast audio form just about anywhere.
Yeah, but it's Netflix, you know.
It is Netflix.
Easily ingestible and then easy to
Yeah.
regurgitate. And that's all this
Yeah,
was.
that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's just seeing, especially him going over surgeries and even Bischoff saying, I wish I wouldn't have brought that TNA stuff to him, was kind of like, oh, I don't think he's ever said that before. But, you guys made money off of it too. So it's like, okay.
And you know what? I did actually believe Hogan when he said the happiest time of his life was the period in the 90s where he was barely working and he was home with his family more. I actually do believe that. And it gets to this point where there were so many points where he could have just walked away.
Yeah.
He had tens of millions of dollars. He did everything. There were so many points. I mean, I know for the sake of wrestling history, you don't want to lose the NWO. And maybe he was still a little too young to fully retire at that point. But everything, say, after, like, what, 2002, 2003, didn't need to exist in his life.
Right. Really, yeah. And he kind of hinted about that. He's like, I would have stopped at WrestleMania, what, 18?
18, right? Yeah, The Rock, yeah.
Yeah, he said, I should have just stopped then. And I don't think he's wrong.
No, that's the peak of, that's probably, you could argue that's the peak of wrestling history at that, right there.
Yeah, and just gone off and done something else. Maybe take some acting lessons. You know,
just do nothing. Yeah. I mean, because the reality show is what destroyed his family. Although Linda did say that for 10 years they were falling out of love with each other or what have you, dating back to the mid 90s. But holy, you stop trying to be famous and valuing material things and fame over everything, and while still having money and material things.
Yeah, well, they said what they say, that
continuing to want more, you know. At least I think it seems like Brooke grew up. Not that she isn't, again, she's probably seems to live pretty well. Nick obviously never did. There's not a single good story about Nick. He just seems like a complete, you know, your typical rich kid douchebag. Even though he's almost 40, never had to grow up. Never had to do anything. Never had to get any kind of job for himself. But maybe if they didn't do that reality show, they could have. And again, he seen that there were moments of actual when he allowed himself any kind of self reflection or awareness. He did seem to he did pick out the moments. He did seem to think, yeah, this is where everything went south.
Yeah, it was funny because there were points, though. I've always hated this in documentaries. You're supposed to be open about things, but as soon as something got, Nick did it and Hogan did it too, that something got like too reflective, too whatever, that they're like, nah, I'm gonna talk about this.
Yep.
Well, wait,
Vince would do that.
Vince did all the time.
He did that in his documentary. Yes. He did that in the one he really did it in was the Andre documentary on HBO. He you know, kind of trying to force the, well, hit, that was more trying to force the tears. And then, oh no, I can't talk. I can't talk about it anymore. But
he also did Hogan, that with the Kurt Angle one when Kurt came back.
Yeah,
that's one of the only times I've ever seen him like tell the guys to get the hell out of there with a camera. And he didn't allow cameras in the office when him and Kurt first met, first met up again, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like that always seems like a cop out.
I mean,
but
from everything I've ever read about or heard about Hogan's brother, who was a Hell's Angel, that guy had an interesting life. Somebody should make a documentary about that guy.
See, I didn't know that part. That was interesting. But, no, I don't know. There wasn't too much until that last part. And it was just so weird, like, choosing those people coming up to him at his appearances, saying, oh, my God, I'm so thank you for what you said about Trump. Thank you for this for Trump. And it's like, again, just an odd way. And like, even when you said, this is where this is coming from, when, you know, they say the hardest thing to do is to give up that spotlight. And imagine for him having that spotlight so long, from what, 84?
Oh, yeah.
To when it was 18? I don't even remember what year, 20-something?
2002?
I mean,
18? Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, 18 years? You're the top guy? I mean, especially with the ups and downs, and then to have be the up for WCW as like the one of the stalwarts of the new wrestling era. He ushered in wrestling to mainstream audiences. And
twice.
Then, yeah. And then when it was low, he did That's it amazing. Again.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
it's just like, I understand that need to go and do more. I get it. We've never been in that position, but just imagine, like, I get it. But man, and that's why hindsight stinks. Like, don't look back, man. You know, just is what it is. So,
Yeah.
but it just, I was never a huge Hogan fan, but the importance is insane. And to see how it all went down at the end, this weird pseudo-religious latching on to one of the most polarizing, to put it politely, presidential candidates ever, just to maintain the spotlight. Like, do you,
Yeah.
like, you brought it up. I was like, do you believe it? Or is it just to get in the spotlight? Like, where's your integrity here?
I mean, I don't not believe he was ultimately a Republican, but the latching on was definitely very much it was a last attempt to stay in the spotlight and to sell and to sell some stupid beer.
Yeah. It's so weird to call our, this is a political thing, but whatever. It's so weird to call these guys Republicans because that's not like they weren't exactly, everyone's cup of tea, let's put it that way, right? But the weird, really, what do they call it, far right wing stuff
Yeah.
is just so oddly creepy now. Like, so in your face.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, like I said, it's just odd in a way to attach your wagon to that and then to get booed and go, well, blah, blah, blah. Hey, man, you just got gone. You got caught on tape again after busting a nut, calling black guys the N-word. Did your apology stuff. Then you go up to what people consider a racist president and hit your wagon to him. What do you think's going to happen? And I know this is old news, but I was just infuriated on that stuff. And he's like, "No, man, it was great. I got a reaction." Shut up. That
He was the one to dial. He, that was the ultimate of being in denial about
yeah, just terrible.
where the end of your life. And most other people weren't. Bischoff and Jimmy Hart were pretty on the nose about it. And of course, Hogan would tell Jimmy how much it hurt him,
Right.
but then
So,
didn't again.
yep.
Didn't change anything
No.
because he in his mind he saw where the money was. And the new spotlight was.
It's funny, for a guy who was constantly losing all his money, was that his house? I'm always confused by these on location things. Is that supposed to be his
I
house?
th
'Cause that's pretty
think it
nice.
was.
Yeah, it's pretty
I'm
nice.
sh I'm sure it was. I mean, he won that lawsuit. He
Oh,
got
very true. It's very true.
bulk of
So,
his. He got a good chunk of his money back.
but yeah. So, I don't know, man. If you want to watch it, watch it. If you don't, you're not missing anything.
No, you're really not
If
missing anything,
anything,
though.
watch the last episode. Make your own
Yeah.
determination. But again, documentaries manipulate you into a narrative they want you to believe. That's just how all of them are. So,
But
they
I
can.
still, yeah, it's still the w but the still the way they framed it. It's they still couldn't. I was the biggest Hulkamaniac in the world growing up, and they still couldn't get me like emotional about his death. Because of all the bullshit that surrounded it, and they still, because they wanted to frame all the Trump shit in a positive light, it still rang hollow.
Yeah, it
When
absolutely did.
they get to that last part of the documentary, that's when the tears should start flowing.
And not a one.
Not one,
Honestly,
no.
not one. Even seeing his friends, his closest friends get upset, nothing. And believe me, I got every reason to right now. It just didn't. So, I don't know. I think we've said all we need to say about it.
Yep.
And I think we said all we need to say this week.
Yes, I think so.
So, all right. Next week we'll get, we'll have to figure out next week because I have to leave again. So,
Okay.
yeah, well, funerals and
All
stuff.
right.
So, all
Yeah, I got you.
right, gang. Well, listen, we're gonna get out of here. Thanks for listening. Check us out again on Tuesday, probably me and Kevin. So, yeah, I'll let Chris take us out. Take care, and get you next time.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Check us out wherever you check us out. Rate and review us anywhere you can, and it certainly helps out. And we'd love to hear get at least some feedback here. That'd be fantastic. You all have a good week. Later.